Take a moment of silence, opportunity to prepare for the study of the Word by making sure that we're filled with the Spirit. Father, we thank you for the opportunity you provided for us to gather together. We recognize these opportunities are prepositioned by you in order for us to acquire the information that we need to have in order to deploy your power into our experience, to your glory. And the purpose for us is for us to take advantage of your grace so that we can be advanced to the absolute maximum based on your power and not our own. So as we study, we ask that by means of the Spirit that the information that is communicated would subsequently be made available for recall and application. And we ask this, thank you in Jesus' name, amen. The passage for today is Isaiah 3:12-14. We've mentioned this several times, but it's worth repeating. And I adjusted the translation a little bit, given the order of the word. Basically, it's the same words, but in a slightly different order. Isaiah 3:12 says, "My people's children are their oppressors." And we see that in our country today as we go away from divine establishment. Since we haven't communicated divine establishment to the children for probably since the 60s, at least not in any major sense. Certainly from the 70s present. You know, it started back in the early 1900s with Marx and Lenin and the boys over in Russia. And of course, the reaction that Germany had to communism or Marxism was Hitler. You know, I don't think they really expected to go there, but that's what happened. The people were voting against Marxism and they got Hitler. So, you know, now they've done their full court press over here and they're taking the long, as they always, Satan takes the long game, which means start in the institutions and deceive the children and then eventually over several generations, then they'll come to this inability to understand truth, and they make decisions on the basis of emotion rather than reality. And so the children become the operative force. And if you notice, those who subscribe to these viewpoints always focus on the children. And it's because the children have no thought. They just only emotion. And so that plays into their game, is emotion. And of course, that's the objective. So the children are their expressors and women rule over them. So we see that happening as well. And again, it's the same principle. It's emotion. The word for women isn't necessarily specious of women specifically. It has to do with the response concept. Because a man can be acting like a woman if he's emotional. And a doctrinal woman is stronger than a man. So a woman can be just as strong or stronger than a man. It has to do with thinking. So this is a response concept. It's not pejorative in any sense. But a woman minus doctrine is emotional because of the way they're programmed. Their heads. You know, that's why the gene pool establishes a woman at conception. And of course we're rejecting that, that now too. But it's pretty simple. If you actually look at the cranium, any doctor that knows anything about brain will look at the cranium and they say, well, they see the difference between the maturization of a male versus a female. It's not just other gender specific things. It's in the head, and God uses that. That was part of the programming. So for people to deny that is just plain. Well, it's more emotion and insanity, which is where we're going in our country as we disregard truth. So the people's leaders lie to them and turn them away from the path of truth. So here we see it always starts with the leadership. And the reason it starts there is because of the prosperity test. They fail the prosperity test. Because a real good passage I'll never forget is that passage in Peter we referenced several times. Do not use your freedom as a covering or as a cloak for evil. And that's what's happening. You know, anytime you have a client nation, and you can go all the way back to the beginning with Jerusalem, when they were in their position of strength as right at the, of course, they were the inception of the church. But they were in arrogance. And as a result, they rejected Jesus. Now, the test for them was slightly different than it is for us. Their test was Messiah. Who is he? And they rejected the one who was. The test for the church is doctrine. And we believe in Jesus Christ, but that doesn't mean, and we're going, and again, salvation is by grace through faith. So the issue then becomes, what think you of Christ and what do you think of Christ's thinking? That's the differentiation between what we would refer to a believer and a Christian. A believer's going to heaven, but they may not think like a Christian because they have never had any doctrine. So they, and again, when you come into the church, you come in as you are, and that's the way it's supposed to be. We don't differentiate. We just, as long as people operate in a reasonable fashion and don't disrupt the place, they're welcome. And their proclivities are not an issue for us. It's not our job. They don't report to us. They don't report to the pastor. The pastor communicates and the Holy Spirit communicates to teachers and the people make the decision on their own. And we accept people however they are, no matter what, as long as they don't disrupt. See, that's the point. So people can come in here as an unbeliever, as a believer who knows nothing, and as a believer who has very much maturity. And we're not supposed to judge each other based on that. We're supposed to give people the space to let the Holy Spirit operate. So here, the leadership has failed the prosperity test. Well, that's precisely what's happened in our country. We have the prosperity that's beyond imagination. And the reason we are is we're a unique nation. You know, really thinking about the corollary between, or the parallel between Judah or Israel and the United States. And we are the apex of the royal priesthood and the client nation of the Gentiles, the Gentile client nation. And the reason for that, as I've noted, is that the homogeneous part of the United States was not an ethnic unity. It was the doctrinal unity, divine establishment. I mean, we were comprised of a huge range of people. In fact, we were and have been for years, actually from the beginning, the melting pot. That was the definition. But the reason it worked was because people who came here wanted to become like us, so they adopted the viewpoint that we had for the most part. In other words, they accepted divine establishment and or Christianity or both. All right. So, but now we've come into a place where people in their arrogance are rejecting who we are, and they just want to come here and take our stuff. And our leadership are allowing it because they think they're going to establish a voting bloc that will empower them going forward. But what they don't recognize is that the source of the prosperity and power is the culture, not the stuff. And as soon as the culture is destroyed and it's well on its way to being there, it will be gone. The stuff will be gone. Because the location and the stuff don't come from us. It comes from the culture that comes from God. You got to realize that. So, you know, even the so-called Republicans, who really aren't, they're hardly a nickel's worth of difference from the Democrats. All the Democrats have become Marxist socialists, so they're really way out there now. But they've become totally commandeered. But whatever. The point is, for years and years and years, you can go back and see how there were what they called economic conservatives, and they didn't want to deal anything with the social issues. So they let the social issues in the country just go to hell, which is what happened. They let it go. But they didn't realize that the economics derives from the social issues. You ain't having no economy if that social issue doesn't play. And we're now at the point where that social issue is exploding. And we're going to find out. Now, again, there's a slowdown going right now, but it's a temporary one with our present president. Verse 13, this is the Lord's response. The Lord takes his place in court and stands up to sentence his people. So God, Jesus Christ is not going to let this stand. He's actually creating, if you haven't noticed, a clear dichotomy between the viewpoints. It is not at all obscured anymore. The people are out of the closet. And they have crawled out from under the rug. And they're in plain sight. And it's clear. You can see what's going on. And people can make a completely informed decision regarding this at the voting booth in the next cycle. And maybe the one after that. We'll see how many God we allows us to have if we choose wrongly. It's hard to know. But it doesn't really matter. The thing is, remember, we're here to demonstrate the truth of the Word of God. It doesn't matter which way it plays. We win. Believers in Jesus Christ who are formed up a part of the pivot win, no matter what. You'll be either be extracted or whatever. We don't know how the story works, and we don't really even care. It's not our business. God's got that covered already. Our job is just to stand fast and hold our ground and don't waver in the truth. The Lord comes to pronounce judgment against the leaders and the governmental officials of his people. So that's where it starts. And he says, who is it that has ruined my nation and you have stashed what you have plundered from the poor in your houses. So that's what's going on here. People are taking advantage of poor. And that's always what happens. Inevitably, that's what happens when you have, especially with negative volition. If you have never noticed, the only nations that have a middle class are Christian nations, or nations were establishment nations. I'll say it that way because it's a better way to say it. But establishment nations with a large percentage of Christianity that used to be client nations or associated with one. You go any other place, you have no middle class. It's gone. In fact, if you go back and watch what happened to the client nations as the pivot was being forced out of the various ones and they were on the run, they destroyed the middle class. Well, what's happening here? They're destroying the middle class. How has that happened? They take away freedom. When you take away freedom, the middle class is destroyed. And that's what's happening here. And it's again being slowed down a little bit, which is why there's such a big fight going on down there. But it's been unrestrained for the last, well, since Ronald Reagan, at least. And it was going before that. So, you know, it's just, people thought they had their own way and they weren't going to have anybody bothering them. They thought they were there. They found out that Jesus Christ hasn't quite yet decided to let them have everything they want and give them over to it, as it says in Romans 1. So we're talking about the cosmic system and the arrogance right now, and we're about ready to jump into cosmic 2. I think we got about 2 more classes on cosmic 1. So we're presently in the study of Satan's cosmic system, cosmic 1 side. That's in a system of arrogant demonic thinking comprised of the lies and deceit from demonic viewpoint. So that's the viewpoint that is taking over. And it's not just, people are thinking, they're aghast at the fact that they're tearing down statues, and they're trying to destroy the Constitution. But see, they have to, when you understand what has to happen for them to be successful, they have to completely dispose of the historical things. Now, get that through your head. Everything that was the basis for this nation has to be disparaged, ridiculed, and discontinued, basically destroyed. That means white people. That means, not because that's really not an issue, but we'll use it because that's the words they use. That means Christianity. That means divine establishment. That means the Constitution and everything that's in it. It's got to be gone, literally. I mean, if God allows us to proceed, and we're still here, that's what is going to happen. Okay, I'm just prophesying. That will happen here. It's just a question of when. We may not be here, maybe 20, 40, 100 years from now. That at some juncture, that's going to happen. Unless God exits us out of here first. You know, that may be the termini. You know, the exit resurrection. Could well be. And I can think you can make a good case for that, since we are equivalent to Israel as a nation. Formed up from the royal family. And uniquely. And we talked about that last time and the time before. Every other nation, and this is something that's always bugged me, why aren't there fifth cycles like there were with Israel? Where they were dragged out of Dodge and hauled off into someplace else and parked, completely destroying their connectivity to their heritage. That was the purpose of it. Well, it doesn't happen here. It didn't happen in Spain. It didn't happen in Rome. It didn't happen in any of the various client nations across Europe. It hasn't happened in England. The nation's destroyed, basically, and they form up under a different basis, but they're still there. Now, we know the land's going to be there. The question is that gene pool going to be there? And the answer to that question with Israel was no. And the answer to that question with these client Gentiles is yes. Why? Because the formation is different. Is the United States going to be here when it ends? No. Just like Israel. Why? Because the formation is the church. Or the royal family. See, so we're a real parallel. The first one. Which is why we're the apex of the Gentile client nations. Now, there may be another one, but I'm doubtful. Why? What are you trying to prove now? I mean, all God is trying to prove is that people can't do anything. They're completely helpless. Apart from His grace. So, He's providing a venue for us to demonstrate our inability to the absolute nth degree. He allowed the antediluvian civilization to do the thing. Same thing. They were marched themselves right down to the wall, and only eight people were still around that were going to be saved. Eight. He evangelized them for 120 years and nobody responded. Now, that's pretty bad. 120 years? And everybody said no? Hello? We got serious problems here. Now, these guys lived 1,000 years or 800 or 900 or whatever. They had long lives, so 120 years is appropriate. We live 70 or 80 years. What do you think is appropriate here? 30 or 40? Yeah, exactly. That's why Israel got up about 40 years. Okay, we're in that. We're getting close to that third and fourth generation curse. So we'll see. You know, the question is, where's God going to go next? And we don't know where that's going to be. I'm not saying it can't happen, but I don't know why. What's the point? What are you going to try to prove? What's going to prove? What's he going to prove by doing that? Nothing. It's already been proved by us and by Israel. We're perfect examples of how we fail. Apart from God's grace. So that's the issue. The demonic thinking that inexorably takes over. Because it overwhelms our ability to resist because we do not persist in the Word of God. That's the problem. So that's what we have. So we have deceit from demonic viewpoint since the fall in the Garden of Eden. That's where it started. Apart from God and the darkness of spiritual death, it's become the basis of the thinking of the entire human race. And it's not just here that these things are occurring. It's happening everywhere. I mean, every nation that has any vestige of establishment is being assaulted. One way or another. I mean, you can't go to a place where there isn't an assault occurring. Now, that's something to be said about that, too. Because in the end, what's going to form up as the church is gone? An international system. Where all the... See, what has to happen is nations have to be disparaged and discredited to the point where the populations want this international system to create peace and prosperity. Which it proceeds not to do, of course, because it can't keep the promises it makes. But that's what's got to happen. See, the people have to want it. That's the thing we have to understand about this whole thing. They don't know what they're wanting, but they want it. That's what's going on. And you wonder why we have the changes that are going on here. It's because the people want it. Now, not everybody, because some of us actually do want what we had. You know, right now, we're still a minority. Population-wise. You know, five or six states have a greater population than everybody else. And at least who voted. And that's another big factor, of course. You've got to realize that only a very small fraction of the population is voting. That's how occasional cortex got voted. In. You know, there was no Republicans because they never won. So they quit. So you had this, her going up against some old dinosaur who didn't do anything except hang around and say, I need to win. And she decided to run a minor campaign against him and kicked his butt. Well, all you need is to get someone to take over and run the place right down on the ground real fast. All you need to do is get someone like that in the speakership. Oh, we almost have one like that. And then have the top two guys kick bucket. Guess who's president? Nancy! Woohoo! Let's put occasional up there. Think about that. Think about how fast that goes. You don't even need an election for that. Don't even need an election. You don't think that hasn't been thought about? I'll guarantee you Satan's figured that one out. I got a path to there. And I don't need your election. You wait. You wait. He's in charge. Except he does report to Jesus. Eventually. 1 Corinthians 2:14, we have the reason why. The natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him and cannot understand them, because they're spiritually afraid. See, this whole venue is spiritual. And these guys don't even believe in that. And if you don't think so, talk to Bernie. He'll tell you flat out that stuff's a bunch of crap. There ain't no God. You know, there isn't. And he's only a nickel's difference between the rest of them. He's just the first one that came out of the closet. You see. And nobody's in the closet anymore. So they're all walking around acting as if they're complete idiots. Well, which they are, of course. And in Revelation 12, we see the whole orchestrator, Satan, who deceives the whole world. See, we're in his game. So for us to think that we're going to ultimately win in the devil's world is wrong. We're going to be extracted from the devil's world, and Jesus is going to win. All right? That's how it's going to play. Now, we can slow it down. Positive, if you have a core positive volition that's big enough to carry, then you might be able to stall it for a while. But we're reaching a point where we don't have that core anymore. Then what happens? It ain't going to be stalled. And we can see that in states like New York. They were stalled for years and years and years and years because they didn't own the Senate or even the House for a while. But lately they have owned everything but the Senate, and now they own it all. And guess what they're doing? They're clapping when they're killing babies. All right? That's where it's going. I mean, we're a canary in the coal mine. New York State, California, Washington, Washington State. Yeah, Washington, D.C. too. You know, all these blue places. Canaries. That's where the country's going. The Constitution is gone. When you get to this point, the Constitution does not even matter. It's not worth the paper it's written on. And you can say that about the New York State Constitution. It's not worth the paper it's written on. Right now. Today. And if you ain't noticed, just check out what's being voted on. And you'll see that that's the case. Oh, they give lip service to it, but it don't mean squat. And you take it to court, and the court judges are always going to rule against you in a constitutional basis if you take a constitutional position. Because they're not for it either. See, that's the problem. The benches have been packed. There is no constituency that will hold the line. So we stopped last time. We were noting conspiracy arrogance that occurs when people who think they have been overlooked or maltreated are being placed under what we consider a jackass authority. And this is exactly what happened in our last election. Hillary and her boys and Obama are the people who think they've been maltreated. And Trump is the jackass, in their view. No, he's not. He's as close to Christ as you can get in the contact. But they ain't going to like him either when he shows up. There, we talk. I should go into that study just for fun. How where the people don't want to believe in Christ so bad. This is at the end of the tribulation. That they put themselves in a position where they can commit suicide and they can't. I love it. Isn't it great? Can you imagine not being able to commit suicide? At the end of the tribulation, you can't commit suicide. Because Jesus wants to look these people in the eye and then smoke them with fire. That's what he wants to do. And he's gonna. They're gonna have to answer to him face to face. Okay? That's what it's gonna be like. In other words, these people are so negative, it ain't no different than the flood. I mean, there's a few more people around, but not quite down to 8. Because there's at least 144,000. All right, so we know that because we got to have a cadre to go into Israel. But there ain't many more. I mean, you do the math. Go in through Revelation and start doing the math. This times this times this times this times this. The population of the earth is 1/10 of what it is when it starts. Okay? If there's 3 billion people on the earth, that means there's 300 million. Do the math. That's what the math works out to. You just go through and start multiplying. It starts with this many. We don't know where it starts. I mean, it may be whacked in half before we even get there. But the point is, at the onset, boom, church is raptured. We don't know what that number is. But by the time you do the math, by the time you propagate down through the verses during the tribulation, it's 0.1x. All right? That's a pretty big number. And then half of them get wasted, or more, by the baptism of fire. So we're looking at a couple hundred million, maybe at most, in the millennium. At most, and who maybe less than that? Who knows? We have no idea. What that means is a huge part of the earth could be not even populated for years and years and years. You've got 1,000 years to completely repopulate the earth. It might take that long. So anyways, we have an election or whatever. Somehow an authority that these people don't like gets in charge, and now they have to the supposedly submit to that. But no, we're not going to do that. We're going to create a coup. This is what happened to the leaders of Obama's Justice Department and his Federal Bureau of Inquisition when Trump was elected and stole Hillary. See, they thought they had somebody for them. And this country, I mean, we're living in the most interesting times you could ever live in, because you're looking, you're watching how Satan destroyed the angels. This is what he did. He perverted the communication from God, and the angels, for some reason, we don't know why, bought it. Or at least a third of them did. Like I say, their story. You can look at it both ways. There's different viewpoints. If you look at it strictly from the normal sense, a third of the angels fell. And that's fine. I don't care how you run around the numbers. I think the case can be made that they all fell. Now, you can get an argument on that, but I don't care. It don't matter. A whole ton of them fell. All right, and that included the big boss, who actually orchestrated the coup. Well, that exact thing is happening in the United States right now. All right, and our previous president correlates to the Satan guy. Right, he's the one that's orchestrating it. Now, he's behind the scenes. You can't see him, but he's got all his puppets out here, and they're moving. He doesn't have to talk to them either, because they know what he thinks. See, that's the thing. They've been so indoctrinated in this viewpoint that you don't have to talk to them. They know what we got to do. Now, they're not working. It's not working for them. It's not working for them. I don't think it's going to. Because God isn't ready to hang up his boots yet on this country. We'll see. It's going to get interesting. It's actually going to be real fun. It may not be pleasant, but it's going to be fun. If a person succumbs to this temptation, they've moved into the conspiracy arrogance and their life becomes completely miserable and ultimately will be destroyed. That's the destiny of the coup people. One way or another. And as I said last time, most of them just better hope that they actually get punished. I didn't say this in class, but I said it after class. Why? Why do you want to get punished? Why are these guys like Flynn and Manafort and this other guy down in Florida and a few of these other people? You know, they're getting in the slammer for ungodly lengths of time for nothing. And everybody else appears to be skating. You don't want to skate. I got a verse for you. Judgment is now on the house of God. If you ain't being judged, you ain't in that house. Guess where you're going? It is very hot for a very long time. It's called a lake of fire. So these people that are going to skate, I put that in quotes, had better hope they don't. Because they're not going to skate when Jesus gets done with them. And throws their butts in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever and ever. And you can put dots on the end of that and a line on the top of it like you do with a number. And it goes for infinity. That's where God says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. You may not see it in time, but you will. It will happen. Nobody skates. And you better hope that you don't ever skate. Be thankful that you get disciplined. Because discipline is God showing His love for you. Now, we don't like discipline. Because it's painful and a nuisance. It's a hassle. Well, I don't want to do that. But it's actually good for us. God says He disciplines His people. His people. So if you're being disciplined, especially if you're being suffering for blessing, whoo! That's blessing. Compounded. Alright? So we should never look askance at discipline. When bad crap happens, bad crap happens. God's got a plan. He's got it all covered. We got to just deal with it. Use the doctrine to deal with it. There's nothing that's going on here on this planet that hadn't happened before. And we're noting passages in the Psalms that explain that. I mean, things in David's time were almost identical. That'd be another great parallel. The story of Saul and David. It's the same. Saul equivalent to Obama. David equivalent to Trump. Saul was a perfect guy. Oh, except he blasphemed God and he disregarded God and he always disobeyed. He was a real jackass, really. But David was hung out with the women. Oh man, he had them. He had him coming this way. In fact, he actually murdered a guy to get his wife. I don't even think our President Trump has done that. And David is what? A man after God's own heart. Woo! Now that's heavy load. Put him in the White House and see how long he lasts with the barracudas that are down there. Oh boy, the news media would be going crazy. Can you imagine that on Fox? Not Fox. I'm sorry, the other one. One of the others. Well, that would be on Fox too, because there's a bunch of libs there. But besides the point, the thing is, they would be going nuts if David was in office. I mean, we need to go through this. We probably ought to do that, because that just shows you how much of a dirtbag God loves. David was the ultimate dirtbag. But he had one characteristic that God loved. I have sinned. See, that's the thing. We've been talking about this. A victim. Who was a victim? Saul. The people made me do it. They wanted to stop. We couldn't kill all those people. We couldn't kill. God told them to go in there and just destroy the place. Everything. Men, women, children, dogs, cats, cows, snakes, anything that walked, toast. All right? That's what he told them to do. Now, there's a reason for that. We'll go into that. That's not today's subject, but there is a reason for that. And Saul did not do that. He refused to do that, and as a result, he was cursed by God. He came under the curse. Now, David did it. he didn't mess around. He was the man that would go in there. If you wanted to clean up a place, he was the SEALs. He ran the SEAL team. Literally. I mean, for Saul. Before they got on the outs. He was the Saul SEAL team. There's some really cool stories in there if you want to read them, and they probably aren't appropriate for a public session. But if they're in there if you want to read them, about what he did. Look about what he paid Saul for Michal, his first wife, supposedly. Well, yeah, technically his first wife, Michal. The one that he hung out with until she harassed him for dancing in the street naked when the Ark of the Covenant was brought into town. And she got all snooty. You're showing too much of your stuff to the girls. And he put her out and never talked to her again. But look it up. I'm not going there. What he paid for the ransom for her. There was a lot of dead people. Look it up. It's fun. That's a real cool one. I like it. It's my kind of guy. Smoke and brimstone, man. He was there. So, but he did bad stuff. He did bad stuff, really bad. But anytime he was confronted by truth, I have sinned. That's all God wants from us. Come clean. I did it. Yeah. And he came under a huge discipline for that. I mean, it cost him dearly. Daughter raped and sons killed and all kinds of rebellions. You know, close friends rebelling, conspiring against. I mean, that makes what's going down in D.C. look like a picnic when you go back and actually read it. It's pretty amazing. None of this is new. In fact, in that venue, it was actually, these people were a lot tighter than they are down there. Down there, these people are arm's length away. It's pretty easy to blow people off out of the way or dislike them when they're really away from you, which is kind of the way things are politically in this country. In David's venue, these guys all hung out. And they were completely split apart. I mean, his son, Absalom, who's his favorite son, foments the rebellion. It's crazy. But it happened. It's pretty cool. It's cool. It's a great story. And it's a great parallel to what happened with Satan and God, what happened with Judas Iscariot and Jesus. The parallels are all over the place. And there's nothing new. It's all happened before. And it's been every bit as bad as it is now. Okay, so we're just repeating the story. Nothing is new. It always happens again. And it always will. And that's the point of our whole life here. The point is to show that we have no inherent capability to do the right thing consistently. We will always fail apart from God. But when we do, guess what? He doesn't pile on. Forgiven! If you acknowledge your sin, guess what happens? Faithful and righteous, forgive our sins and purify us from all wrongdoing. Now, does that mean we don't pay prices for certain things? You betcha. Everything gets leveled. Everything gets leveled. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. Okay? Just hope you're a believer, because the payback is not near as bad. You're not going to be there forever. Conspiracy arrogance is a function of the mutual admiration society that arrogantly assumes the right to overthrow the legitimate authority that God has permitted to be established. And this Romans 13 describes that fact. Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. Now, the point is, who was the emperor of Rome when he wrote this? Nero. Now, he was a wonderful guy, right? He's the one that built a boat for his mom that designed to come apart in the waves so that she could drown. Oh. He was a real charitable guy, wasn't he? He's talking about him. God signed off on that guy. He signed off on whoever's in the office. So, remember that. Now, maybe not you that voted for him. No. But someone did, maybe in our case. In that case, they ascended the throne by killing the right people. But the point is, God signed off on that guy. He signed off on whoever we got down there. He signed off on these idiots that run the New York State. Right? And whatever other state you're in. So, the only recourse we got is prayer. Stand our ground to the extent that we can legally in prayer. But prepare to get run over by a bulldozer. Because it's Satan's world. For there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. So, who's fighting the war? That's the point here. God. Jesus Christ. That's what the boys on the other networks are up against with the Trumpster. They got a problem. Who's fighting that war? Trump can just fall all over himself and say the stupidest things and use that Twitter all he wants. And guess what? They ain't fighting him. They're fighting Jesus Christ. That is not a game you want to play. That's not a game you're going to win. Now, at some point, that'll be gone because it can only be in office for 8 years at most. Well, unless they get rid of the Constitution. And whatever, it will apply to him because he's on the wrong side. But the point is that there's a finite length of time. Now, God will work out the successor, or actually he will work with the circumstances to allow the successor to be established based on who votes. So there's another one for us. Go vote! You know, don't let 20% of the population vote and have them win. You know, because clearly we don't have 20%. But wait, the majority of this country, if everybody voted, would be a little more centrist, at least, and maybe conservative than what we've got. But not enough people are voting. There's a problem. People need to get out there and vote. Because then they won't have people killing babies. Right? Won't be happening. At least not to that extent. Not won't be legal. The mutual admiration side is comprised of two categories of arrogant subjectivity. It's comprised of the arrogants who possess aggressive subjectivity and the inadequate who produce the passive subjectivity. So we got both of those kinds of people in the present coup against our prez. The arrogant assume they are greater than the system and the authority structure of the system. A couple of names for that. Rosenstein, McCabe, Comey. Just a few. Right? There's others, but those are the big guys. Those are the dudes that are carrying the water. The other guys in front, they better hope they get punished. They're inadequate, assume the system has overlooked their talent and ability. Now, Hillary fits in that one. You know, she was disregarded. She was meek. She wasn't supposed to. She was supposed to be anointed. and there are others. The arrogant lead inadequate to form a conspiracy against persons who represent authority in the system. This is the new guy, or whoever has ascended to the power at this point. Someone who wants to lead a coup to oppose the current leadership will take over and start a mutual apparition side. So that's what they did. That's what they did down there. And then the actual architect of this baby was Obama. It leads right to him. It's not ambiguous. This is why they have all these big investigations. These fake investigations are all about obscuring the truth. They're not about coming up with the truth. They know the truth. And it doesn't sound good for them. Of course, they better hope they get caught. Because if they don't, bad stuff is going to happen. This attempt to take over starts with complimenting, then socializing as they look for ways to criticize and foment antagonism and hatred towards the legitimate authority while they build up their following for the coup. And this pattern is described in Psalms 12. So there's nothing new under the sun. We'll go back there and look at this passage, and this is a Psalm of David that refers to a similar circumstance. Exactly the same, actually. So let's see, get this thing to roll down here. Why aren't we catching up? There we go. No, I went too far. All right, so it starts out, help for the Lord, for the godly man ceases to be. For the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. They speak falsehood with one another, and flattering lips, and with a double heart they speak. So we'll just look at those two verses, and we'll go down and do the whole thing. They, in this case, in verse 2, is this coalescence of people who are going to foment the coup. They speak lies to each other, that is, the arrogant to the friends that they were the inadequate, with flattering lips and duplicity. So it's all a bunch of hypocrisy. It's created on the basis of lies, which is what we've got going. So, but this is what happened again. This happened to David. When exactly? Probably relating to Absalom. Probably. But I don't know. This occurred to him several times. It occurred to him under Saul. It occurred to him with the Absalom Ahithophel revolution. So, I mean, I'm not saying he didn't deserve it, because he was certainly a bad guy sometimes. But the point is, he was God's guy. And he ultimately wins. The arrogant flatter the inadequate, so they will join them in conspiracy using the old ploy, you've been overlooked and you are better than they are. So you didn't deserve what you got. The wrong person got elected. The arrogant flatter the inadequate, causing them to become dissatisfied with the duly authorized authority, and they both malign and slander the authority and ultimately work together to form a conspiracy. The reason for the conspiracy is the arrogant want to replace the legitimate authority and the inadequate want to be recognized. You see, everybody has a dog in this hunt. And none of them has the right dog. Because it's all self-absorption and rebellion. Psalms 1, so let's go back and start from the beginning. For the choir director, upon an eight-string lyre, a psalm of David. Help the Lord, the Lord, for the godly man ceases to be. Help, Lord. Please help me, Lord, for the godly man ceases to be. In other words, the righteous guy is under assault. For the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. They speak lies to one another with flattering lips. With the double heart they speak. So it's all hypocrisy, lies, and deceit. Nothing new. This is being repeated right now as we speak. Verses 2 and 3. May the Lord destroy all flattering lips. That is the conspiracy of the arrogant, the tongue, conspiracy of the inadequate, who speak boastful things. Now let me switch over to the NET version and get some of these notes. NET note 7. The verb is justive, indicating that the statement is imprecatory. Imprecatory prayers are not typically used in the church age. A normal imprecatory prayer is, Lord, break their teeth off in their mouth. That's actually in the Bible, in a psalm. So those are the kinds of things that we aren't supposed to say, because we're supposed to desire that all men be saved and come to the epinosis of the truth, which is God's desire. So our attitude in the church age is that people come along. But in certain cases, I think this is a legitimate place for the imprecatory prayer, because you're talking about government. Out of line. So it's perfectly legitimate for people to pray to God in an imprecatory manner, in the sense, not that they would necessarily die or whatever, but that they would be deposed and not being allowed to foment their coup. So you got to figure that out for yourself. But this was not uncommon in the Old Testament. The psalmist appeals to God to destroy the wicked rather than simply stating his confidence that he will. In this way, he seeks to activate divine judgment by appealing to God's just character for the example of such power, of such a curse, see Judges 9. So the point is that David was praying for God to deliver him from the accusations. This would be the kind of prayer that Trump could use. It's the kind of prayer that you and I can use because we got sick and tired of dealing with these people. But again, we might want to back off just a hair. Say, bring them around to salvation. You know, have someone evangelize them. Now, we know that ain't like, I mean, if someone does, they're probably not going to respond. We know that. Based on where they're at. But we can pray that that be the case. That would be the best answer. Now, if they would all just lay down their arms, their political arms, and go away, that problem solved, right? Right. And that's a good answer. And even pay the piper, which would be a better answer. You know, go to jail or whatever it takes to get justice in time rather than eternity. But they don't, of course, that ain't likely, but whatever. So anyway, that's net note 7. Verse 4, who have said, we will triumph in this conspiracy with our tongues, our lips are with us, and who can stop us? Doesn't that sound familiar? Who's going to oppose us? Nobody. There's nobody to oppose them. You know, it's kind of interesting that our president's done exactly the right thing for the most part, I think. I think, you know, he's backing off and allowing things to just go. Now, he actually has the authority to turn it, to stop it. Now, there's an opposition party in the Congress, and most of his people, most of the so-called conservatives in, well, they're not conservatives, most of the so-called Republicans in Congress are actually Democrats, so he doesn't have a winning hand there. Never has. That's part of the problem. But the truth of the matter is, letting it play out is allowing all of it to be exposed. That's a good thing. Because that puts it right back in the hands of the voters, which is where it needs to be. The voters are going to be able to vote in 2020 on who they want next. Do they want a person that stands for the Constitution and the principles, that even though they might not like him in his way? Or do they want someone who's going to completely destroy the country and turn us into China? Well, that's the question we got. It's real obvious. Those are the choices. I mean, if you look at who's running the show or running, that's what you got. And it's not going to get any better. So, net notes, so that's 10, 11, 12. Let's just read it. We speak persuasively. Who knows? We know how to flatter and to boast. Who will stop us? Who's our master? So, 10. So they use their tongue. This occurs here where it refers to making strong or confirming a covenant here. The evildoers make a strong tongue in the sense that they use their tongue to produce flattering and arrogant words to accomplish their purposes. Now, if that isn't what's happening in our country, that's a perfect description. It's all allegation and innuendo. There's no truth. In fact, the further you dig into the facts, the more obvious that becomes. It's all smoke and mirrors. There never was any truth to it. Verse 11. This odd expression probably means our lips are in our power in the sense that they say what they want, whether it be flattery or boasting. For in other cases where, so the point is, they have the power of speech. Why? They own the media. That's why. You know, if you really want to look at the fault here, it belongs to the media. They're the ones that really need to be discredited. I mean, I'm not saying the perps don't need to be either. But the media is carrying the water. You think that's not going to go unnoticed? Who does that correlate to? Satan. Satan was the media for the angelic rebellion. Okay? That's who he was. That was his role in the process. Now, he was also the one who fomented it. But he had both roles. He was the media for the satanic rebellion. So the media is just as complicit as is the purveyors of the assault, of the coup. Maybe worse in some senses. So now we haven't seen the comeuppance on that one yet. That one may be the lake of fire. I don't know. I mean, what do you say? How does anybody touch them? They can't be touched, not by any political system. They're beyond the power of anybody. I mean, they're in the Constitution, right? They're using their freedom as a cover for evil. Does it get any worse than that? No, it don't. So the only remedy for that is Jesus. I mean, you can pray about it, that it's up to him. We have no power, and nobody in political power has office has any power. You can't touch them. They're in a position of untouchable. Maybe the Supreme Court. Maybe. But I don't think there's anybody there. I don't think there's a constituency there that would go against them. So it's just fun to watch it, look at these players and see how it correlates. And that's what's going on in this passage. Verse number 12. Who's our master? This is a great one. A rhetorical question expresses the arrogant attitude of these people. As far as they're concerned, they're unanswerable to no one for how they speak. In other words, they can get away with anything. That's what they think. Isn't that what they think? Sounds like that to me. Looks like what I've seen. They're answerable to nobody. I just said that's what was the case. That's certainly true of the media. No one can touch them. As long as they got someone willing to bankroll them, which they do, somebody with big bucks and doesn't care about making a profit because nobody's going to buy their stuff, and that's certainly the case of all the media that's on this side, they don't have to make a profit because they're bankrolled by people that want to destroy the country. That's really what's going on here. That's the objective. Destroy the country. Now, they're assaulting the leadership, but the real objective is to destroy the country. They want to, and we're going to get to that eventually. They want to completely reform the nation. Then all of them, in fact, I would recommend that you listen to a discussion last week. I think it was Thursday or Friday. It was discussing, Mark Levin was talking about it. You can get it on the internet. And he was going through the communist plan for taking over Russia and how they did what they did there and how they completely discredited all of the institutions of Russia. And that's how they took it down. And that's what they're doing here. It's exactly the same. They did the same thing in China, the same thing in Korea. All of the institutions. So that means your religion reformed up under communism is not like Christianity, for example. The church in a communist nation is not the church, because the leadership of the communist party specify who teaches. The Chinese just did this recently. They deposed all the pastors and replaced them. If you don't meet their qualifications, you don't get to teach. So you can say it's a church, but it's not. They're teaching party line stuff. That's what they did in Russia. They did that everywhere. And so they discredit everything. They discredit all of the founding documents and viewpoints. Which goes right back, in our case, to the Bible, the Ten Commandments, and all that stuff. Gone! Repudiated. That's what's coming here. In the not too distant future. About one or two elections after we get a non-conservative in front. That's what they're going to do. Like I say, the Constitution is gone. We're way past that point. The momentum is the other direction. And Trump's trying to hold that thing with his finger. He's the guy with the finger in the dike. That's how important he is. Who can stop us? Nobody. Well, yeah, there is somebody, Jesus. The question is, will he? Or are we just going to let it happen? He might. You know, that's the thing. He could actually just let it happen, because as I made the case, we're paralleling Judah. And he let that happen, and they were completely destroyed 40 years later. Not a single rock left on top of another. That's pretty good destruction, right? When you raise the place and you run over it with a bulldozer to the point where there's nothing standing on top of another thing. That's what they did. All right? That's pretty bad. So something like that, I mean, not exactly, of course, that was prophecy. But something of that magnitude is going to happen here, probably. Well, it will at some point. We may not be here to be a part of it, but we'll be somewhere. We'll be preserved in the process if we're still around. They speak their propaganda and create a public lie to undermine the legitimate authority by slander, gossip, maligning, allegation, and innuendo. So it's all about talking. All about speech. And that's exactly what's going on. Their arrogance is displayed by the last rhetorical question. Who is our master? They believe they are an authority to themselves and they recognize no other. So that's where they're at. That's what's going on here too. There's none of these people is answerable to anybody, because there's people. Everybody's constrained by political realities. So this is a perfect place to stop, because this brings us to Jesus' answer. And when he gets ready to smoke these people, which he proceeds to do. And we'll pick up here next time. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to provide for us to study your word, and the blessing it is to understand our situation presently in our nation, and for that matter the world, in the context of the angelic conflict and the realities that have preceded us and continue to recycle, because nothing is new. Everything has happened before in a different way, but the principles are all there, all repeated over and over again because of negative volition and positive volition and your response to it. So help us to be confident in this situation and enjoy the view and the ride as we go through it. And we ask this thank you now in Jesus' name, amen.